To my right, David Bowen, the CEO of Disability Care Australia. Liz Cairns, the launch manager at the Disability Care Australia's Barwon launch site. Sarah Johnson, an actuary who's spent a great deal of time working on the National Disability Insurance Scheme. And Peter Martin, the Australian Government actuary, who was also the reviewing actuary for the NDIS. Would you please make them welcome? We're also joined this morning via video by John Walsh. John has worked for over 20 years at PwC. He was appointed to the Productivity Commission to investigate the feasibility of a national disability insurance scheme and other options to fund lifetime care and support for people with a disability. He was recently appointed to the inaugural board of Disability Care Australia. Let's hear from John via video.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me to address this seminar this morning. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we're meeting on today and to pay my respects to elders past and present. This morning I've been asked to provide some observations on the circumstances leading to the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and in particular the role of myself and other actuaries in these events. I've been asked to focus firstly on the early days of the thinking around the insurance model, the NDIS, how it evolved over time. Secondly, I've been asked to comment on the events that have taken place in the 2 years since the last accident compensation seminar towards the end of 2011. The NDIS has been called the most fundamental social policy reform since the introduction of Medicare, and is supported by both sides of politics and widely acclaimed by the Australian population. It's seen a remarkable escalation in support over the last couple of years since its first presentation on a formal basis at the Australia 2020 Summit in 2008. However, it's far from a new idea. In the 1960s, Sir Owen Woodhouse proposed his five principles, which became the pillars of the New Zealand Accident Compensation Scheme. We came close to having an extended Woodhouse scheme in Australia, with first the draft legislation and then the private members bill of Prime Minister Gough Whitlam in the tumultuous period of 1974 to 1976. Notwithstanding our failure to get a national scheme in place 40 years ago, the 1980s saw some major reforms in personal injury compensation in Australia along the lines of the Woodhouse principles. We saw most of Australia's workers' compensation schemes and many of the motor injury schemes undergoing significant changes during this decade. In terms of actuarial involvement, to my knowledge this was the beginning, with people such as Richard Madden and Richard Cumston being involved in the early Woodhouse work, and later on Bob Buchanan and Greg Taylor in the design of the Australian Accident Compensation Schemes and improved analysis in longer tail personal injury insurance. As a young actuary during this period, I was taken by the lack of population data describing disability in general, but injury in particular. Moreover, it seemed to me amazingly short-sighted that what data that was collected focused on the injury itself and the initial hospitalisation and treatment and lump sum compensation, rather than the longer term outcomes of the people who were severely injured. I'm delighted that the organisers of the current seminar have chosen to include the word outcomes in the title of the seminar. I was very fortunate at this time to be given the opportunity to undertake some research on working in a small way to addressing these data deficiencies, in a project sponsored by the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare and a consortium including the New South Wales Government Insurance Office, the Insurance Council of Australia and the Life Insurance Federation of Australia. It's embarrassing to look back at the language I used in those early days, with many words appearing which would these days be regarded as politically incorrect. The title of the research was Actuarial Research into Physical Disablement, and its stated objective was to provide interested parties with ready access to previously unavailable statistics on impaired lives in Australia. It is the basic premise of this study that ultimate full integration into society is the most morally desirable, socially desirable, and cost-effective means of treating disabled people. If I was to use that language these days, I would never again work in the field of disability. Nevertheless, the concept itself was nearly identical to the model of the NDIS, as presented in the next slide. The idea of this research was to try to data populate each of the blocks on this slide, and hence develop longitudinal information on disability incidents and outcomes. Fortunately, government has continued to support the incidence idea, with the legacy being the Australian Spinal Cord Injury Register. Unfortunately, any idea of collecting data on outcomes in any systematic way has failed to gain support for many years. In accident compensation schemes to this day, no information is collected at a systematic longitudinal level once schemes stop paying benefits, and in the broader disability field, population outcome data is restricted to the sample survey published by the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Fortunately, throughout the 1990s, Ros Madden at the AIHW greatly improved the quality of information on disability services, and this led to the beginning of discussions around the concept of unmet need in disability support. The unmet need message is a simple one, but critical to the development of the NDIS. People with a disability have been disadvantaged and disenfranchised throughout the history of Australia. They are rated at or near the bottom of the scale on poverty, homelessness, being unemployed, having a chronic disease, having a mental illness, or having an encounter with the justice system. And yet before the NDIS, they only had rationed access to a service system which was bursting at the seams and would have led to spiralling cost escalation. Therefore, it made economic sense to invest in the well-being and inclusion of people with a disability as active members of society with ordinary valued lives. For many of us, the NDIS model made sense both socially and economically 20 to 30 years ago. The development story of the NDIS is the story of applying a funding model to the disability system, which focuses on people and outcomes, and which introduces a structure and information system to allow insurance-type governance. The data available from the AIHW analyses and existing service systems was not sufficiently granular to interrogate the dynamics of system behaviour and unmet need at this level of governance. It's only in the past decade that politicians like Bill Shorten and John Delabosca have sponsored the more detailed analysis of disability data sets, which started us down the road of modelling the disability system in the traditional insurance sense. Hence the crystallisation of the insurance model for the disability system from a nice concept to an achievable goal. So what has happened in the past 2 years? At the time of the last accident compensation seminar, the Productivity Commission had recently released its final report. It had been supported by Prime Minister Julia Gillard, and we were on the verge of getting a set of principles agreed by the states and territories to the underlying design of the National Disability Insurance Scheme. There was a heightened sense of anticipation and excitement at this groundbreaking development. However, in spite of the recommendations of the Productivity Commission, which sought to avoid Commonwealth-state funding arguments, the adopted structure of the NDIS led to extensive debates on funding and ownership. The interim 2 years have seen a tremendous amount of policy development by the NDIS Task Force and a range of COAG subcommittees and advisory groups. Finally, agreement was reached on most issues towards the end of 2012. We now have a National Disability Insurance Scheme Act with rules and guidelines. Launch sites began in 4 states in July this year, with 3 others to begin next year. The nature of intergovernmental policy development and tensions around funding and policy has meant that the majority of modelling and costing over this period has been undertaken with central agencies. So outside actuarial input has been limited. We are fortunate that the Australian Government Actuary, Peter Martin, was at least to some extent consulted on these developments. However, the NDIS Act now specifies a critical role for a scheme actuary, and the legislation liberally uses words such as actuarial modelling and insurance principles. Although I'm sometimes a little unconvinced that the legislative draftsman understands this terminology. So what sort of person is suited to actuarial work in the disability and broader human services systems? In my view, this sector is unlike any other area of actuarial analysis, which should become clear if we revisit my earlier slide. Inputs and outcomes, and under the NDIS model, funding, are multidimensional and are considered more at a person level than considering programs, episodes, or claims. Therefore, the modelling needs to follow people throughout their lifespan, and actuaries working in this area need to think about their models as representing people rather than numbers. Moreover, the NDIS is only part of the picture. Outcomes for people are very dependent on broad cross-portfolio support, and hence the actuary needs to have a detailed understanding of the National Disability Strategy and the National Disability Agreements. For an actuary, I believe this requires a commitment to working at the industry level rather than on a project come-and-go basis. I've been fortunate to work with some brilliant ones throughout my career, both many years ago and still today, and in particular Sarah Johnson, who has done so much work directly with the development of the NDIS. The young graduates and actuaries who've worked with us over the last few years have universally been inspired by the difference they are making to society. I would be very happy to see more young actuaries approach their career with a view to understanding what sits behind their numbers and the outcomes for people with disability. Thank you for listening to me this morning, and I understand you now have a session with a group of experts who are currently working on the NDIS.